Hello everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Craig.
And the shadowy cabal of TV Cream is minimised to the three of us to watch Ghostwatch.
Nice fireplace.
Hey.
Lovely fireplace.
And before we get into where we first saw this and what our experience of it was when it went out live, let's just say a word about Michael Parkinson. Michael Parkinson's a fucking dick.
With the one exception of this, actually.
Yeah. Well, that was the comment that's been worth making.
Now, can I just point out here, I think that the text font that they use is quite odd for the captions here. I think it's fine for the title, but you just saw the text font caption just there, Craig.
It is. That'll come and go. Michael Parkinson being a fanny will endure throughout the programme.
Yeah, that never goes anywhere. So, it's also quite odd to have the time in a different font.
It is.
Also a bit odd that it says time 3:55 a.m. when it says 3:55 a.m. there.
And the thing about this is that veracity's everything, isn't it, in this? But it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, all the details are very important to build up the picture.
I think the detail in this is phenomenal.
The detail is incredible.
With the exception of that font.
Yeah, that never occurred to me before.
Take
somebody as fucking pedantic as you.
Yeah, but I guess they were trying to make it look different from most television at the time.
But this is lovely.
So it would therefore look like a sort of... a special Halloween font.
Yeah. But this digital zoom's great, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is brilliant.
Is it meant to look... like you say, it's made to make it look like a factual programme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all this is great,
isn't it? Yeah.
And when Stephen Volk developed this, originally this was going to be the last episode, wasn't it? It was actually going to be a conventional series.
Of which the previous ones were going to be
building up to
nothing
this.
Happening in them particularly.
And it wasn't all going to be... It was going to be a conventional drama in which they build up to them... The ghost hunters doing the live event.
This bit's brilliant.
Yeah, all this stuff is great.
It really makes me very nostalgic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that guy does look like Pete Waterman who's driving the truck. And Elliot's slanty BBC logo. Fantastic. See, this is fantastic, isn't it? All this stuff.
Now, the truth behind the fact of this being so well done and so convincing is that when I watched this going out live in Halloween, I did
preceded by the Screen One caption.
Yeah, but I didn't see that because we turned on. You know, we turned over just because somebody said, "Oh, there's this thing, Ghostwatch thing." So we had no idea. We didn't get the Radio Times or anything, which said it was a drama. We didn't see the Screen One caption. We just turned over just in time for those sort of credits.
Really, the weird skulls. In
Lucky
background.
You.
And I would say, and I just presumed that is exactly what it was.
Worst thing about the program.
Right, all right,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry,
just give him a minute. We're going to come back to Lynn Pascoe,
Dr. Lynn Pascoe.
We have approximately 86 minutes to fill this in.
But
I'm done here.
I fucking will be if you don't let him speak.
I saw I took it utterly at face value. Nothing about the first hour made me think there was anything other than utterly sincere.
That's brilliant. That's really lucky. I knew it. Now I did a dangerous amount of research into this by listening to the commentary. And apparently they were made to put the opening title on at the last minute, like 2 days
what,
before
the screen
production.
One, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the credit at the beginning, the writer's credit, Michael Parkinson. Until then, they didn't want that. There was a little bit of executive fear. Who'd have thought it at the BBC?
It's hard to believe.
So I've got a question about this, which is, I think this is the only television production I've ever seen where the most convincing actors and characters are the presenters. Because usually on TV, when they do TV... It's really unconvincing.
That woman looks like Darth Vader, the way that lamp's sitting there.
What do you mean? Do you mean...
Well, for example, on Only Fools and Horses, when there's the episode with the fictional game show, you never think...
Yeah, no, they never look like...
Or on EastEnders, when they, what was the quiz show that Arthur Fowler went on?
Cat and Mouse.
You never at any point think that's a real programme. And the person who is the presenter, you never think that's a real presenter.
Yeah.
But on this programme... The presenters, all of them, are the best actors in the whole thing.
Well, I would say that part of that comes from the truism that the goodies discovered which is that if you want to have a newsreader as part of the action,
mm-hmm.
Giving a report on Kit and Kong cutting across London or whatever, you get a newsreader because actors try to act the news. They try to act as news. So you get Corbett Woodall or Kenneth Kendall or somebody, and they will just do it as long as they get it. Or brilliantly, of course, Michael Barrett interviewing the new Prime Minister, Sooty.
You also had that great period in the 90s when Sky's Bob Friend was in all those big blockbuster movies. He's in Mission Impossible.
That's right,
And he's in Independence Day.
God help us all.
So am I right in thinking that the presenters were able to go off script?
I think it was all very tightly scripted. I think they had to
Surely Parkinson.
No,
We don't have scripts in Cardiff.
No, absolutely not. That's not the Yorkshire way, Stephen.
But I'm pretty sure I seem to remember Stephen Volk saying
that painting.
They said to Parkinson, if this isn't how you would do this link, just do it how you think it should be done.
No, I think it was scripted. I don't know.
This is going to be in the reverse FAQ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clarification.
Dr. Lynn Pascoe is shit.
So why is she shit?
She is the only... That's a good question. No, I think she's probably a perfectly good actress.
I think it is because... I think it's a bit of a disservice to say that she's so bad. Because I think the reason she seems so bad is because the rest of them are so good.
Yeah.
And because they're getting to do what they normally do...
This is true.
Then they look convincing. But she's got to act like a psychiatrist or psychologist about it.
Sarah Green. Can I tell you the Sarah Green story when she was on the Del Winton daytime show called Stars Reunited?
Oh, yes.
10 years ago.
Yes.
I want to come back to Dr. Lynn Pascoe.
Well,
she's all right, she's in it a lot.
She's in it a lot. Sarah's in it quite a lot.
Somewhat too much.
Stars Reunited, which was a daytime proposition where they brought stars back together. I think it was Sarah Green and that snooker team, it was Sarah Green and the Blue Peter presenters, and they were in studio. And
what's a snooker team, by the way?
Anyway, go on.
I'll say no more on that one. But anyway, so they were in studio.
It was rugby the weekend.
It was heartbreaking.
Something fell over.
Last minute
fumble. Should we try this again?
Go on.
So, Stars Reunited. They were in the studio.
Yep.
Something fell over, made a big clatter, and Sarah Green...
Is it Maggie Philbin?
Sarah, apropos nothing, said, "Oh, pipes gets everywhere, doesn't he?"
Oh, right. So when was that?
About 5-10 years ago.
So a good 15 years later. Yeah.
Quite right too.
Yeah.
So she recognises this as the peak of her career.
I warn you, I could talk for hours about the loveliness of Sarah Green, so we need to be careful with that. She's just marvellous. This guy's got a great beard.
He does have a great beard.
Wasn't he in The Keep?
Really?
Looks like the fucking priest in The Keep.
So the other thing that I think is really good about this is that they assume that as people who watch TV, we understand what TV programmes look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which again is often not the case in these things, is it, when they have a fictional TV programme? Because of all this stuff, feels very authentic.
It's very good,
I think isn't that partly because when they try to dramatise television production, The principal motivation of that is to push the story along. So the accuracy of a television production isn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make it look like it is so that it helps the story in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What it seems much more like in this is that this is actually totally bona fide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the example of the opposite is extras. So when Ricky Gervais did The Office, then that felt like an authentic paper merchant.
Yeah.
But in extras, you could make a sitcom and a week later you were picking up a BAFTA.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's no one, no one understands showbiz. Well, actually, I understand it a little bit.
But this is one of the reasons that this works so well, because
he is the proper cameraman and the guy beside him was the proper sound man they used on it. They basically asked for volunteers.
And is that scripted
then? And these guys came forward. Well,
I don't think it can. I don't think all of this can be scripted.
I think there may be... Maybe you're right, and it's sort of like the sense of, you need to get from here to there, so just say it in your own way.
Mm.
Because they also pick up that the other guy looks, she claims looks a bit like Ed Edmondson. It's obviously a bit of shtick that he does with them. I'm also slightly bothered by the the ISO camera on the right, this is 25.3 degrees centigrade. That's much too hot for an October evening.
Is it?
The other thing is, he says, they make a joke about being looking like Ed Edmondson, and then there's an impression of Rick Mayall.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Fuck him. I don't know why we're bothering with this.
Shit.
Why are we bothering this? Because this it's not actually a film. It's not a TV cream guide film.
But
it's very good.
It's brilliant. But I think it's been massively influential in films.
Aye.
And in almost every genre of television since, and all of the sort of found footage stuff. You know, all of the all programs and films that are about, you know, even if they're those shitey Paranormal Activity, see,
right? Yeah, that's right.
Shitey Paranormal Activity stuff. You know, all I think traces itself back to this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's incredible.
But this isn't the first time that a TV play has been made that's meant to mock up a TV documentary or a program like this, is there? There was one in the '70s. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Artemis 51 or something like that. There was one.
Is that the thing about the people on the moon?
Just read the reverse FAQ.
I've actually got that.
I've got
that. The point is, this was on in prime time on BBC One on a Saturday night on Halloween. Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people would say
not on a fucking Wednesday night.
This is
Mary Whitehouse having a strum over it.
Yeah, some people would say this influenced by War of the Worlds, of course, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
which I think it is.
You think?
Yeah, of course it is.
We've got a lot of balls in the air here. We've got an awful lot of things dangling. We've got Michael Parkinson's dreadfulness. We've got Dr. Limpasco. We've got that ghost painting.
Painting's innocuous. And what's her clipboard about as well?
She's very busy. She writes a lot. I mean, she's obviously writing a shopping list.
Must learn to act better.
I think that's unfair. I think she's a perfectly good actress. She just does, as we were saying earlier before we wandered off, she to the man's beard. She's just slightly off.
She has the hardest note. She has the hardest job because she's the actress who has to act, and the rest of them are presenters who have to present.
Yeah.
So is it a script writing problem? Is there any way around it or not?
Well, the only way around it, I think, would be to find
a batshit crazy parapsychologist.
Now, the only way around it would be to have actually found like a tele savvy doctor, or if there had been, put it this way, say the programme had been about physics or something, you'd have got Magnus Pike, and he'd have been absolutely perfect. And if it had been about science, you could have got James Burke or somebody, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, but
problem is, there's just not much call at the time, or even for now, for tele psychiatrists.
Yvette Felding.
That. I like all this. This makes me very nostalgic for graphics of that period.
It's like open air.
I tell you what's really good.
Her hair. Nice.
That Christopher Hitchens always identified correctly as a mark of quality. Is all the names seem really proper, proper names.
Stableford's a good proper name.
Yeah, and Palmy Early's
a brilliant
name, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, to chuck another ball into the air here within this discussion, why is there no Morris Gross equivalent figure in this, because this is clearly based on the Infield Poltergeist case, so there isn't an expert on site, is there? There isn't someone who's been presiding.
No.
So why do you think they made that decision? Given this is so close to the Infield Poltergeist case,
probably because they played Guy Playfair to do the consultancy on it. And he said, "I'm not having Morris Gross getting involved in this."
And didn't I seem to remember that Playfair
and not having Morris Gross being part of this?
Playfair and Volk fell out over this, didn't they?
I've no idea. Yeah. Have to ask one of those two. That.
Yes, they had a big falling out, and they had a spat in the pages of 14 times.
Jolly good.
Over this.
Yeah, the best kind of spats are having 14 times.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
No FT, no comment.
Absolutely. I'm a subscriber of many years standing.
Bless his heart. Look at Smitty.
Did the two of them complain totally independently, and it was just an amazing coincidence that appeared in the same issue? Did people hang up apples on Halloween?
Before it was Americanized.
Yeah. I think
I remember that.
I always thought you hung up
up a crumpet or something.
I beg your pardon. You're talking about Sarah Green like that.
If your house is haunted, would you really put up like stickers of ghosts?
I've always assumed that's the production.
No,
it's like if someone had come around and killed Yeah, your dad. Would you like have, like, let's put up some posters of axe murderers?
Christianity's got quite a lot of those crosses in it. It's just designed to provoke.
That's occurred to me before, but I like to think that it's because they've the mum's been putting all this stuff to try and keep normalised.
That's a nice idea.
With the rest of the street.
And although we're going to say a lot about quite a lot of people, Craig Charles is absolutely brilliant.
Is he the best thing in it?
I think he might be. He's phenomenal.
It's not right, that, because he's fucking horrible.
He's... Do you remember when he was a poet?
On Wogan.
Oh,
he used to poetry spot on Wogan, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, just dreadful.
Yeah, that's sort of how he made his break. He was on Saturday Live, I think.
Yeah.
But that's
my... Okay, so back to Parky. Back to Parky. Yeah. None of us, I think, is a fan of Sir Michael Parkinson.
Yeah.
However, this is a problem for me, though, because I generally speaking, find him fairly unpalatable. But the fact that he did this creates a problem there, because...
I think that had something to do with... You can imagine the thing where they phoned him up. They said, we want you to do a thing about ghosts. Fuck, I'm not fucking doing that. Going up bands, like, going up, president of the rugby club. Could have. They said, it's on 9 o'clock on a Saturday night in BBC One. Right, I'll be there.
I'll be right, Hans.
It's a great house as well, isn't it?
I think the house is perfect the way it's laid out, because it's...
Yeah.
It's properly
lived in.
It's properly lived in, but it's actually quite shit. Yeah.
This is quite very Enfield. The configuration of this bedroom.
That's true.
Extremely Enfield podcast.
And also, you kind of get the impression that Pam Early, brilliantly named Pam Early,
it's
like Early. isn't it? That she's really struggling to hold it all together. Mm. You know, the house is slightly shabby. Mm. She's trying to keep the kids together. She's trying to... She's doing some work at the bedroom. She's got all the...
Yeah, it makes it look like she's like a home hairdresser as well or something.
She's just trying her best.
Now,
she doesn't fucking need this. The ghost's turning up. Is it no hard enough being Pam Early?
But in those circumstances, why...
Late Pam Early.
Why would she invite a camera crew into her house?
Because obviously, like anybody... You've never lived in a council house. Like anybody who's ever lived in a council house.
In the background,
you're trying to get a better one all the fucking time.
It's not a council house.
I think they say it's a council house, isn't it, actually?
No, there were council houses on it. No, but the point I'm making about her is that everything about her is great, but the best thing about it all, and it's actually quite surprising for then, it wouldn't be surprising at all now, is that the husband... The absent husband gets one sideways mention. And then you never... And it actually allows you, which is what we were doing at the time, saying, where's the fucking man?
Yeah. I was working a late shift.
Because they say at one point, that she says, my husband, my ex-husband. She says at one point. And that's the only mention of him in the entire thing.
So you were taken in by it when you saw
it? Totally.
Were you shitting yourself? Did you think this is it?
No, because we...
This is what I've been waiting for.
The problem with that was... It's a sort of double-edged sword, because on one side, it was great to watch it that way and get the realisation eventually that, oh, no, this is a piss take.
And there is a point where you do get that, which
I
have a slight problem with this because of that. I think it does go, but we'll get to that later on.
But the problem, the other side of it is that it means that I missed the first few appearances of Pipes, because I wasn't looking for him.
Right.
Because it was only the bit in the bedroom,
uh-huh.
which is, I think, the third or fourth appearance of him, that and we went fucking mental when we saw him.
And who was we?
I was living in the house in the south side of Glasgow, the Miller's house.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my friend Richard, I think various other friends were there, and I don't particularly do Halloween, so I wasn't going out anywhere, and it was a wee bit early for the rest of us to go out, or the rest of them to go out. And we just ended up... I would undoubtedly have watched the Small Daniels Tragic Show earlier that night. But then we went away and had tea and came back and watched this. And we were sort of tuned into it and quite enjoying it. I mean, I was really enjoying it. It was like, oh, this is... Because it seems so odd.
Mm.
And then when the camera pans back and forth, a wee bit later on we'll point it out, when you see Pipes, we fucking hit the roof.
Yeah.
And we did precisely what they must have wanted us to do, which we walked up to each other and went, did you fucking see that? Did you see that? It was there!
I think of the presenters, Sarah Green is the least impressive, although I think she's very good. But I think she does have the hardest job.
I'll take you outside and I will punch you repeatedly.
She does have the hardest job, because the thing about Craig Charles is that Craig Generally, his links are very presentry links, whereas she actually has to deal with the drama of it, doesn't she?
Well, she was in the Blue Door, Green Door, whatever it was, theatre company. She was,
she
an
was
actress,
yeah, the curtain,
of some repute.
Swish of the curtain.
That was it.
I think you'll find, yes.
But she's a very clever choice for this, because when it requires, as we'll get to at the end, when it requires her to remain in the house when everybody else has left, it makes sense that she would be the kind of person who would stay.
And also that it's her husband who's in the studio.
Well, plus, like, the estimable Smithy, I'd have fought any ghost.
And
tape pipes on.
Come on, Smithy.
Now, the telephone number is the right telephone number.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
And if you phoned it, you got...
You got people telling you to calm down. Calm down, dear, it's only a movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're just pulling your pisser, man. Go back to what you're doing.
Hey. But
I suppose on the other side, it's
the
fine.
Funny thing is, usually with these sort of things, you'd be leaping for the phone to see what it was that they said, but we never. But then we were quite a retrograde house.
You've probably been had your phone cut off.
Well,
at that stage.
In 1992, we were still quite retrograde. When I had the one like GPO phone in the kitchen.
Well, a phone should be on a table somewhere.
And no way. Way before mobile phones.
Oh, so here we go. So we've done a little speed back of the video here. So is this the first point where things start getting a bit...
Yes, this is when they start fucking with you.
Yeah, so let's talk about this, because Craig, you know about this stuff, in terms of the actual production. So they film things clearly once or twice or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then cut between them.
Yeah, absolutely.
What
do you mean? They play tricks on you. Like, right, you can clearly see pipes here now to the left.
Yeah,
and the
on the left
cut. There he is, right?
There he is.
What?
So, there you go. Then he goes, let's bring in this lovely, look at that, there we go, it's the size of a fucking bus. And then she, and if you actually watch closely, she attempts to draw a cock and balls on it. Now watch this. Here we go, Dr. Lynn Pascoe, she filthy. Watch this, ball one, ball two.
Now while we were watching this,
she's going for the cock.
While we were watching this at
the
time,
there you go.
We were looking at her drawing that, and I vividly remember us going, that's not where he is. It's further up, it's further in, it's not that. That's just knockers.
So they play with you there, and then when they go back to it, you can see it not so clearly, then you see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So they were deliberately trying to
cutting
sort of,
between different
shots. Apparently this was very difficult to do, because the big video screen in the background,
yeah,
those were designed to have live images piped through them.
Mm-hmm.
Piped, see what I did there?
Hey.
But they were not designed to have video recorded material played through them. So they had to have like banks of videotapes playing it so they could show them.
Because of course BBC were making quite a lot of these something watch, weren't they?
Yeah. Well,
talked about this earlier.
Because there was like, wasn't there was one about trains that they did?
Train watch.
Yeah. I think it might have been called train watch.
I mean, it's,
or rail watch perhaps.
It's before.
Yeah, we're not sitting here watching train watch though, are we? We're watching ghost watch, and that's the genius of it.
But it's before the really popular ones like spring watch and autumn watch and badger watch and
jobby watch.
Scud mag stash watch and all that sort of thing. So it's almost like it's a wee bit ahead of its time. Because you could sort of see that it would be a pastiche of those.
Mm-hmm.
But it was before all of those. But I think you're right, there might have been
other
programs.
No, there were
some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not of any great significance.
Crime, of course.
But it certainly is way
now
ahead.
Now 90 million people
tune in. I think probably Crime Watch was the only thing
it
was really based on.
Now you get 90 million people tune in to watch a sheep shit out its wains. Live on telly!
Don't think, strictly speaking, they shit them out.
Who gives a fuck?
Well, the sheep.
Gives a fuck.
Come on,
shepherds.
Gives a fuck.
Is that it?
I couldn't give a fuck.
Help me. I'm being haunted by a belligerent Scottish man.
Chop watch. I couldn't care less.
Get in your fucking glory hole over there. Get in there. You've actually got a glory hole in the corner of this room.
So why is why is doing it like this and this sort of and then later found footage stuff, why does that work for horror, do you think?
Mostly doesn't in found footage, I would say. I'm not really a big fan of it.
Right.
I think
why does this
things.
Work?
I love those things you keep letters in.
It was new. Yeah, they're good.
Nice.
It was new.
Everything about that room is great.
Yeah, I think it works here. Well, it probably works for us, let's be perfectly honest. you know, in a way that the Blair Witch doesn't, because I've never actually been in the woods in Maryland. But this is happening in houses like
now, I want to point out, see the clip, the newspaper.
We're going live to Chris.
No, shut up. See the newspaper clippings. I'm convinced Pipes is in one of these.
What do you mean, in one?
Right, there's a picture of the two kids, and then there's another, the same picture, but it's extended slightly. There, on the right-hand side, that bit on the side.
Oh, yeah,
I think he's in there.
If anyone, living or dead, involved in this programme wants to get in touch and let us know.
Except
for Michael Parkinson, because we don't like him.
It just occurs to me that would be one of the things that they would sort of try to tease with, just like in the cutting. Sorry, it's just
that's all right. We were talking about why this form works well for ghost stories.
I think it works particularly well here because it's all so familiar. They're all familiar. They were people who we were used to seeing on telly every 5 minutes. Even if you're in on the joke, it's still quite surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that they get the domestic setting so brilliantly, which is, you know, there's a lot of that in horror fiction and horror films. Stephen King's always sort of said, one of the first that did that, that, you know, brought vampires and werewolves into your sort of back garden, if you like, or yard, as they call it in America. And I think this just does it so much. I mean, look, this is not the place you would expect this to happen.
No.
But it's pure Enfield Poltergeist story, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeti sitting on a toilet and tooting back, is it?
There we are, yeah. So it's the mundane, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Now, the other thing about that, I think they still think they should have got Kilroy to do that that TV light programme thing that they just did there. But I like the idea that they built up this thing where they've been to the psychiatrist or the psychologist or whatever the fuck. They've got the newspaper articles, they've been on that telly, so it's as if they've been on this journey of trying to get people to believe them and take them seriously, which has culminated in this. Yeah.
And everyone still thinks they're just trying to get a better house.
Aye. I think the house is quite nice.
I quite like the house, actually, yeah.
The big light, though.
That house is in suburban London. It would probably cost now about
£850,000.
Yeah. Do we have any views on the Enfield Poltergeist case?
I don't really. It's not it's not something I know very, very much about, apart from the fact that it was a Sky drama earlier on.
Craig?
Quite a good Sky drama earlier on this year. I thought it was all right.
It was okay, yeah.
Timmy Spall.
Yeah, I mean, you and the Lady Jack are huge experts on this. So I'm wary.
Well,
of
not so much me. No, you're fine.
No, I find the Enfield Poltergeist quite a fascinating case.
Yeah, it is interesting.
The people involved are interesting.
It's not very compelling as a Poltergeist case, though, is it?
Isn't it?
No, I don't. There's no compelling evidence at all.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant compelling as an interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But there's no compelling evidence at all. There was an interview that Guy Lyon Playfair gave a few years ago where he was talking about some of the evidence that no one could dispute. For example, that Janet, who was the centre of the Poltergeist case, apparently transported into the next door neighbour's house, and the evidence, which was indisputable, was that one of her books was found in their house. How could it have got there?
Angels of the Odd. Not sure about that.
That's
like
a very
Poltergeist
photo,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Several of my books in this house, Chris. Does that mean that I've transported? Actually, I wish I could, because it'd save me petrol to get here.
But so all of that stuff is very interesting, and I think they do that very well on this as well, don't they? Because and actually, maybe that's where, if I have a problem with this, it's when you do cross over the line of things that you can explain through mundane means.
Well, but then isn't that the sort of the kickstart in this halfway through, when it appears to be easily explainable, and then that sort of double bluff kind of thing, and then it moves on. But we'll get to that.
Can I just, the way Parkinson, look at that excellent button work on
the
jacket there. So he's a getter. Look at that. That's a man from an older generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
That's a man who'll give you a Parker pen whether you actually sign up to the deal.
He knows his way around that reel to reel. Look at that.
It's a lovely reel to reel, actually, isn't it?
It's almost like a ewer.
An Agfa.
Very
well, the tape is Agfa.
But it requires the expert to press the play button, though, of course.
And of course we've got all these
she's an actress,
which we can't hear at the moment, of course.
Yes, you will, take
it. We have all these creepy voices here, which actually did put the shitters at me. I mean, we go back to when we saw it. I knew it was a drama because I'd just seen it trailed or something. I'd read about it
because it's his Green
Goblin. Didn't know anyone that was involved. Now, I couldn't quite, and I think that shows you what how amazing it was. I couldn't quite work out how it was going to be a ghost drama that had Michael Parkinson and people in it. I thought that was bizarre. So, tuned in with my pal John, who loved it as well. I was a student at the time. It was my final year at university. And it's my then girlfriend.
I find the voice really.
Oh, he turns
horrible.
Up here again. Pipes turns up here.
Yeah, no, this is. Sorry to interrupt, but this is just what I was going to say. You get the voice. You get the voice and all that, which was when we were watching it freaking us out. But this is what I mean about. Because we didn't know it was a drama. We went looking for him. So we don't see him behind Dr. Lynn Pascoe in a moment.
Well, again, that's. Yeah, part of why I have a sort of a reservation about this. Because that doesn't seem to work within the grammar of a ghost story. I feel like the ghost is usually confined to a particular location.
Sorry, anyway, Craig, you were saying that you'd...
You and your pal John.
Yeah, we watched it,
Alleged pal John.
Late pal John, actually. He could come from the other side tonight to talk to us. And my then-girlfriend, who hated it. She just hated stuff like this. She thought it was rubbish.
She just didn't believe it? Or?
She didn't believe it. She didn't like sort of ghosty stuff. She'd have known it was doomed. But John and I just absolutely fucking loved it, you know. And afterwards, the thing about not seeing them or seeing them, and I literally didn't see it for another 10 or 11 years till it came out on DVD. And so I can't now tell how many times I'd spotted him when it was on, or subsequently, because I've subsequently spent many hours watching it, rewatching it, and of course looking on the internet for stories about where he turns up and whatnot.
I can see fairly conclusively that the only time I remember seeing him when we watched it the first time was in the bedroom. And I think we only saw him once.
I know quite a few people who won't watch this again because they don't want to diffuse how scared they were when they originally saw it.
I can make that.
And they worry that if they watch it again, I think the amazing thing about it does stand. It does stand up to repeated viewing. It isn't just a stunt program.
I'm slightly kind of worried about showing it to my son, who's of an age now that he'd watch it, because he might just find it immensely hokey, and that would really upset me. That does look filthy. What you just picked up there, doesn't it? Whereas for me, it still stands up. That's a lovely bit of crockery. It's a terrible watch. For me, it still stands up. For me, it's still
vintage,
really, really.
I think it is as well, and it actually still freaks me out. And a few years ago, when a pal of mine, Arshan, was lodging with me for a while, and
did you hide behind the curtain in a room?
No, yeah, but she saw me.
She would actually have stabbed me if I had done that, because Sharon can't watch anything horror or anything unless she's with people. Because she's a terrible shite bag, but she likes horror stuff. So I said, well, we'll watch this, because it was Halloween. I said, we'll watch this. And she was fucking terrified.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I had to put the lights on all over the house.
But I wonder if some of the mores would still resonate with the kids today, like the bed spoon and the sort of things that you see that are a result of ghostly phenomenon. I mean, I don't know if those things would make a connection with
the
young
folks
today.
But the thing is that you get a lot of these horror is in a funny place at the moment as a film genre, because a lot of the Paranormal Activity stuff and even things like The Conjuring, which is a great film, but although that's superior, a lot of them are dependent on jump scares and found footage. And the Paranormal Activity films have made a shitload of money, and they're just chairs moving and sheets moving back.
Yeah.
So actually, I think this would probably still have quite a big resonance with people. Because so as we said earlier, I think it's very influential.
So who would be in
the
if they made
that brooch? I love it. About by the way,
what's wrong with that brooch? It's perfectly fine. Brooch.
What is it?
It's a
so
brooch.
Who
what
would be that? In this if they remade Ghostwatch then?
That's a good
Michael Parkinson.
You see, you can't do a Ghostwatch unless it's on at a decent time. You've got to stay consistent about the time. And you have to have a journalist doing it. That's the difference.
Proper journalist.
Let's recall.
I think Matt Butler.
Don't know who that is.
Matt Butler.
Matt Baker.
Don't know who
Matt
he
Baker.
Is either.
Matt Baker, one Baker. Show. Uncle Matt Blue Baker. Peter. Well, lovely
no
stuff.
Idea. No idea. No.
Country file.
Honestly, don't know who he is. You just
John Craven could do the Michael Parkinson bit.
John Craven's older than Michael Parkinson.
Mm. Yeah, but you could. No, he's not.
I is.
No, he's not.
Do you think?
Parkinson.
So Matt Baker would be in the Smitty role, would he?
Yeah. Okay. But would you still try and get a husband and wife team?
Who would the husband and wife be? Are there any famous
Richard and Judy?
And
oh my.
Ask again. Are there any famous husband
hey,
and wife?
She could get shakes, couldn't she?
Yeah, no.
Imagine Judy in the house. She wouldn't be diving for the bottle of Coke, by the way.
Imagine trying to keep
There'd
Richard.
Be a lot of spirits.
Why is that wet batch in the gap?
And you wouldn't be able to keep
Judy
Richard
again.
On
we
script,
make no
either,
comment
would you?
About Judy.
No, absolutely not. She's a fine woman.
I love that woman. She's like a second mother to me.
Yeah. And Richard would be actually locked in the fucking glory hole by now by his production team.
Well, they've turned their attentions to him.
Here's David Hare, the playwright.
Yeah.
State of the Nation playwright, David Hare. I've had a terrible life. I went to Chichester.
No way. No satellite delay.
No. I just think, as you correctly said, the sort of grammar for this always reminds you of... Saturday Night Clive, when he'd be go, hello,
yeah.
Margarita Pracatan, or whoever he was talking to over in New York.
Satellite this, is always dead.
I don't really mind this. I think you get away with
no,
that.
No, I don't mind it. I'm just saying that it could have been even more realistic if they put a wee satellite delay in it.
Do you know what I think that they do?
As you can see, I'm here in New York.
That they make that poor expert's job
so
hard.
Do you expect to see a wide shot with him in the front corner of the studio?
What's the name of the expert lady?
Emilio Silvestri.
No, this one.
Dr. Lynn Pascoe.
Dr. Lynn Pascoe.
Dr. Lynn Pascoe. I think they make her
know
try
who
and
she
do,
is?
They try and make her do hypothesising.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
very I think it's very difficult to act working through your thought process, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean it's sort of they try to set up so they begin to argue with each other and I'm not.
Yeah.
And I apart from anything else,
a lovely northern accent.
But apart from anything else, how would she's not got an earpiece, how would she know what he's saying unless they're playing it out across the studio and that wouldn't happen?
All right.
You asked.
Yeah. I did ask, yeah, that's good.
Look at him, he does look like a prize cunt though, doesn't he? Let's
so
be honest.
What do we think of Stephen Volk's oeuvre outside of this then?
I'm a whopper of a Stephen Volk fan.
Are you?
I am, yeah. I thought the recent Midwinter of the Spirit.
Did you like that?
I thought it was terrific, yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it looked great. Terrific cast, and I thought it was really cleverly written, constructed.
Uh-huh.
He's a really good fiction writer. He wrote a book called Whitstable, which is about an aging Peter Cushing. That's just wonderful.
Uh-huh. And what about Afterlife?
I liked Afterlife, yeah. Absolutely love it. I thought
with the mad lady who lives in the rich house, go figure, and hangs out with Egg from This Life.
That's all right. She's a good actress. Egg's great. I liked it. You like Egg, do you? Yeah, I thought it was great. Afterlife was a good programme.
No, I thought it was pretty poor.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
I didn't like her monotone intonation. I didn't like her monotone intonation of things. Lower
than gothic.
Bones, Egg.
Yeah,
lower
yeah.
than bones.
Gothic. He wrote Gothic. Ken Russell's film, which is great. And he wrote a film a couple of years ago called The Awakening, not the one with Charlton Heston back in the day, about which is set. It's got a brilliant setting. It's set after the Great War, and it's about people's need to turn to psychics and whatnot.
Oh,
and there's a ghost story told around, and he tells a good ghost story.
Yeah.
And you know, you're asking about him. That sort of stuff is way, way better than some cruising peak at the weekend, and that's pish.
And
I think
that
Stephen Volk's great.
Well, I'm not.
She's not very house.
Sorry,
proud,
we've moved on to lampshades now.
She's not very house proud, is she? Primarily. Quite like that.
Do you know our front room looks like the front room that Bob Peck has in Edge of Darkness?
Yeah.
With his Radio Times and a leatherette.
Yeah, except he had a proper fire.
He did. Well, she's got a brilliant old school.
Bob Peck's house,
fire.
Though, in Bob Craven's house in Edge of Darkness, Bob Peck's character, was like, it's actually quite smart though.
Oh, it's a lovely house, yeah.
Big
absolutely,
house in the country
yeah.
and all that. Made
but it's
one
got
that his wife
period
did.
Furniture. Mm.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, actually, no, I don't think it was about talking about property then. His house in the country and whatnot was probably perfectly buyable. By
yes,
a senior police officer
but he was
in the 1980s.
Parkinson's clearly his spectacles.
In Yorkshire.
Like Smitty?
Jeevan Smitter.
Now,
Michael Parkinson.
Could I point out that 1992 was not exactly the zenith of Michael Parkinson's television
this
career?
This is true. He was
yeah,
in his TV doldrums, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Right smack in the middle of his TV doldrums.
So this was way post-TVM, wasn't it?
It's post-TVM. I would suggest it's also post-Give Us a Clue.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're probably
right.
So
he'd have been doing absolutely fuck all on the telly. A pleasant state of affairs. Yeah. Yeah.
The Wentworth Golf Club. The halls of the Wentworth Golf Club.
So I wonder who they went to before him then.
Redolent with his voice, though.
I wonder if he was top of the list or if they went.
Yeah, actually, that's
Sir Terence of Woganshire.
Oh, this is
her turn. Oh, well, actually,
what
that's...
What
is that? Out, damn spectral! Out!
Welcome to my veritable glory hole.
Terry's old ghoulies.
Well, you should see Mr. Terry's old
ghosts and
ghoulies. Is this... This is her telling her ghost story,
aye,
isn't it? She's quite good at this.
She's very good.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely... I'm sorry, you know, to be male about this, but she's absolutely achingly lovely. Look at her.
And it's,
I had a huge crush on.
It's
the,
nice.
Of the shy loveliness, so it's
yeah. Really
shy. I like the cutting back to Smitty as well. Poor Smitty.
I know.
Yeah,
it's such
was,
a shame.
Well,
such a shame.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
Because we can't make the old helicopter jokes
had
anymore.
Nothing to do
I
with
which were
that.
Great.
Sure, yeah. Your chopper.
No, it was just very sad.
Car phone warehouse.
Look at that carpet.
Insert picture there.
That's so. Yeah, who do you think they would have got instead of Parky?
I don't know. I mean, he did. I have to. As much as it pains me, he does seem like the perfect choice. Because
yeah.
He has that sort of annoying gravitas. Where you know that he takes everything he does seriously, even though we think he's an arse.
1992.
Aspel?
Oh, imagine.
My
Gaspel? That actually would have been better.
No, I don't agree.
You know that's why he calls himself Michael? Do you know why Michael Aspel calls himself Michael, not Mike Aspel?
Because it's his name.
No, but he could call himself Mike Aspel,
Mike
couldn't he?
Aspel.
Because what used to happen was he used to do a radio show and alternate with another presenter, and the presenter would say at the end of the show, tomorrow it's Mike Aspel, and they got letters of complaint saying, why do I care about your Gaspel?
Hey! That is a great...
This is true! Happy Halloween, 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 happy Halloween to worship God. Happy Halloween.
No, Mike Aspel would have been a great addition.
But Michael Aspel did make a similar programme of utter genius, Strange But True.
That's right, yeah.
Which
strange,
yeah.
Fucking strange but
loved.
Not true. They should have called it more accurate.
Well,
you know?
it was on at a time, my first jobs were in the Borders, and I lived in a flat of my own, and I basically had nothing to do all the time, so I watched a lot of telly and read a lot of books, as I normally did. And I used to, so I was actually in on a Friday night at 7 o'clock or 7:30 when Strange But True was on.
Arthur Clarke's strange phenomena
that
he can't be bothered to
investigate. I recently looked it up, and actually, Strange But True got like viewing figures
it
of about 15,
well.
16
yeah,
million.
But it was great.
There was a sort of period,
nice
there, wasn't
for
there?
The Nescafe. Yeah.
Strange.
In the sort of
but
mid,
true.
In the mid to late 90s, there was that sort of pre-millennial.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was great.
With Father Lionel Fanthorpe.
I liked him. It was good.
Fortune
yeah.
Davy.
Remember there was
and the X-Files.
Yeah, the X-Files.
There was that series as well that Ewa Wewa did. Edward Woodward.
That's right. What was it
presented?
Called?
It was a sort of
the Equalizer.
Kind of
that Equalizer.
It was
not true. Bang.
It was a sort of Strange But True kind
was,
of thing
yeah.
as well. It was a good series, but I fucking love Edward Woodward.
That Equalizer.
Bong.
He's a great guy.
Give him it, Michael.
What's up with you? No, what would Michael Michael Park just when Michael Aspel would just be nicer
he
to
would.
Talk about oh,
oh.
Like, bit of Minecraft what would Michael Park
of course if you squint your
afterwards?
Eyes when they do that you can always see
after
them
this.
Which was pointed out on Saturday
what?
Night Live
what was
what's that
what?
That if you squint you can make
yes.
people out it
yeah.
was an Australian guy who was an expert
that's right
who pointed out on Saturday
yeah,
Night Live
if you just
squint
your
you
eyes you can see
your
them
eyes. You can see that he's got a
monobrow.
You can see
he's got
a
nose. There's a mouth going on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got a big
he
square
eye.
He's got
a lovely
eyes.
Green jumper on. I like
yeah.
that. Michael Aspel, what he'd done afterwards?
No,
what
no,
did,
but Michael Parkinson.
Parkinson. Aspel was making Strange But True, having
yeah.
a great time. Married
so
to that woman that was in EastEnders.
Yeah, Mrs. Hewitt.
Who had an affair with Arthur.
Yeah, Mrs. Hewitt.
Yeah, then he dumped
wow.
her.
There's
but,
been an EastEnders subtext going on this episode.
The yeah, we'll keep that going. Parkinson,
mm-hmm.
not long after this was when they started re-showing old Parkies, and he basically said, I can do it again,
oh,
I can do it again.
Yeah,
half the price.
They started doing those like compilations.
Yeah, which was mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
But the only, actually, for me, when Parkinson came back on then, they only served to prove that they were really good in the 70s and shit mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
But couldn't it be like...
When they change the set.
You have to have proper people on.
You have to have a brown set for a chat show.
You reckon?
As it transpires. Yeah.
Otherwise it just doesn't work. It
doesn't work.
How about Michael Aspel's chat show? That was a grey set.
But yeah, well, that was ITV.
Aye. They get away with anything.
But there he is.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Craig Charles in this, is there?
But he's good.
No, but he's really good, and they have this brilliant cutaway. A wee bit later, the great cutaway bit where he talks about, "Oh, I wish I'd been unknown."
Oh,
was
that's
on
right,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, that now this is when it starts to get actually genuinely creepy.
Yeah.
When we get this story about the fucking black Labrador being sacrificed by fucking Charles Grey on his way by or something.
Look at that, it's an excellent...
With some great cars.
XR3 in the background there.
What I think is interesting, though, as well, is that like Craig Charles and Sarah Green and Smitty and Parker, they all totally get it, don't they? It's not just a case of they're thinking, yeah, I can present, so this is going to be fine. They absolutely get is going on in this what's going to make it successful.
Do you think that's because perhaps they were just... in some way flattered to be involved in something that was a dramatic kind of Screen One kind of thing?
Well,
like this.
Yeah, I mean it was a prestigious slot, series.
Yeah. These two are great, by the way.
Yeah. The second one being one of those strange Scottish women that turns up in parts of England.
usually just to provide victims for the ripper.
For some type of serial
ripper
killer.
Victim.
Just whichever one you want to pick.
They always come from fucking Wishaw or somewhere.
Yeah. And I married him, he was an ice cream man, and we moved down south. That's how they're
ripper victim.
But she's great because she pulls him up. Like, it's not funny, you fucking dick.
But the kids
stop
part,
laughing at women, Craig Charles.
But the kids' part backdrop's good, isn't it? As well,
yeah. It is, yeah.
And we have a shot of pipes coming up shortly. It's a great jacket, that, as well.
Yes. Some of the jacketry is actually very redolent of the early 90s.
Well, it also chimes with what you always say, Craig, quite correctly, surprisingly, which is that all of the fashions and cars and things, whenever they make a film retrospectively, they tend to be too contemporaneous.
Yeah.
When actually everything should be slightly aged and everything is perfect in this, and they also look like people who are not well off.
Yeah,
you know, they look like it's people who are just getting by and would be like quite good neighbours, and you know, because she says, you know, we the house gets fucked up across the road and there's pipes is cutting around the place shagging cats, so we just get them over for a cup of tea then send them back.
can I just be clear, is this you making a point about my elasticated baggy trousers? I've been sporting for 32 years.
Alright, here comes Pipes.
Where?
There he is.
Where?
Hang on, he's in the background.
Oh man,
you missed him. His big baldy white head was there.
Yep.
So what was I'm trying to remember what Craig Charles would have been doing apart from this. So he'd be Red Dwarf. Cyberzone,
yeah.
Or was that a bit later? He'd have been doing. He'd have been doing. What's That Noise? Kid Show.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody remember What's That Noise?
Yeah.
He did a version of Tears of a Clown on that, which I always thought was very, very strong.
That is a magnificent jacket that boy's wearing.
It's very late Flowering Rose.
Smitty was post Michael Lush, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, that's well.
He'd fallen out with Noel at that point.
What's Michael Lush?
Who is the chap
who died on the Breakfast Show? Oh
God, yeah.
But that was a good...
Sorry, Lush family.
That was a good 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that was 85, 86. Yeah. So he'd fallen out with Noel. So I'm just trying to think what... So he'd probably doing the First Aid stuff would have been just a few years before this.
Yeah. And would he have been...
Discovering the majesty of the mobile phone at this stage.
Of the car phone, I think you'll find, probably.
Yeah. Making friends with Charles...
I'm in on the ground level.
Yeah. That's ironic for him.
Sarah Ginn going live, would that still be a going concern?
'92, about to be replaced by the fucking useless Emma Forbes.
Peters.
Well, that was a drop in quality.
Oh, baffling idea.
Oh, it's terrible. Parkinson's.
But he's got a nice pack of pen there.
Oh, is this when they were about to take
pen and specs? Can we just get a shot of me now? I've got pen and specs. She does a very good job of being perky presenter, but starting to get a bit nervous, isn't
Look
she?
Look at the computer as well.
Yeah, great.
Back to
what has been in?
Finnegan
is
begin
it
again.
Or has someone just put their hand against the grain to turn that colour?
Is that a Commodore?
I think that's a Commodore.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Or is it too big at the back to be a Commodore?
I was too poor to have
it. Because the Commodore's not sort of curved right in behind the... I think it might be a...
Is that not some sort of
what
Atari
else can we
system?
See? There's some VHSs there.
Love the telly as well.
Oh, how much
system.
Is that Coke? Oh, I can't see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at that fire. Weird one of them.
Yeah, yeah, there was one of them in here. Until not that long.
Tom says. Oh, there's, so there's water dripping down. Yeah,
yeah, and they were right. going to analyse it for some reason. Yeah, that's a proper, that's a proper.
Analyse it for traces of urine.
That's going to be from
engine.
Traces of urine.
That's going to be from BHS, that, yeah. Like that. And look at that.
What
look
a
at
wonderful
the,
ceiling as well.
Look at the Artex action on that ceiling. Yeah. What do you want, Hen? Do you want it stippled? Do you want it screeded?
Just giving it a whiff. Does it smell of spunk or piss? No, still. Neither.
She's not interested.
But it looks like a proper house. It looks like people live in it, you know. Certainly doesn't look like Pam Early's cleaned it before they arrived.
And is it a proper house?
Listen,
or was
Pam
it a set?
Early
was this
is a
set?
Single mother and she's working very hard. No, it was a house.
So they actually did go out and find it. I wonder who lives there now.
Oh, yeah.
That would be quite good to find out.
Find it, get in touch.
It wouldn't be great if there was an internet to find out shit like this.
Well, you see, nowadays it would just be some guy in a black dress living totally unashamedly.
And what about
all of
it,
with all of his cats.
And what about the info portuguese house?
I'm super.
Now.
He'd be singing. I am what I am.
You know the Enfield Poltergeist, the drama that's on recently?
Yeah,
so
I do,
they all screened that in America, didn't they? And it was called the Enfield Poltergeist, which I thought was... I thought they would have renamed it.
Well, The Conjuring 2, to hit our screens next year, is The Conjuring 2, semicolon, the Enfield Poltergeist.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yes, this is right, yeah.
So that big... Obviously, big fella from Watchmen is coming over to sort our London limey poltergeist shit out.
Now, this is all of a lot of misdirection stuff, because... I think they've had that call by now, you know, with the about have they had that one already? I can't remember now. With the information about the old woman that killed Wayne's and things.
That's still to come,
right?
Yeah.
But then there's a thing with that tap that makes it seem like, oh, there's something going on, and you think, no, it's just a tap.
Don't
she had the dishes.
Done those
I'll say that.
Dishes,
that that's
look, I'm hypothesising. I've got a pen.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm thinking on my feet. While I'm sitting down, that's confusing me.
So that looks like one of those pens that had a wee digital display at the top of it.
What did they display?
Someone at school had
the time. Remember, they used to have the time on
it. It was a silver.
You know, I'd like to make one of those, but it just says pen. That would be
I can talk for a long time about pens. You know what? Look at Parky. This is why he's kind of like your dad, because he actually has the full Windsor knot there. Always the full Windsor knot, Parky.
This is the now I don't quite get this, because this is the we were watching the videos and
it's just racism.
He says
the Welsh.
He says it was
surprising since Stephen Volk is Welsh.
Is he?
Parky then says, you know, oh, this is fucking rubbish. And actually, I don't think there's anything particularly unusual.
Well, she says that as well. She sort of says, "Oh, hang on a minute, you know, strange things happen."
My plate just flew off the arm of the chair.
That's Michael Bates from A Hot Mum, isn't it? You've gone into there.
I also don't quite believe her chair acting, the way she it's like swivel. It just doesn't strike me as how you'd behave here in a TV studio.
Well, you give Lynn Pascoe a fucking break. No. She's got degrees from London Metropolitan Polytechnic. She's a very clever lady.
Two poms in a bus shelter and they call it a university. Tony Blair.
Tony Blair's Britain.
Now, it's Corbyn's Britain.
Coming back to if we think about the fiction of this programme, one of the other things that strikes me is they didn't have very many subsidiary items lined up, given that your expectation would be that there's actually
that
not a
happen.
Lot that's going to happen.
You think?
Well, he just throws to Sarah a lot because the nation loves her.
Well, I suppose. Well, actually, I'm not entirely sure that's the case, Jack, because you have the house, you have Sarah in the house, you have Craig Charles outside, you do have the possibility of him from the keep and the broadcast wagon, and you have Smitty in the studio.
Yes, but they're all focusing around the one case, aren't they?
Virginia Andrews beside the bed.
So it's a lot of eggs in the one basket. If there's no supernatural activity.
But that's why you have the calls coming in.
Yes, but then you'd have thought they'd have had like a little VT.
I don't think your objection stands.
You'd have had
you're
a bit of a VT.
They must have had
they'd have done another little case somewhere. Now, if you were planning this programme, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you'd make sure you'd go and get other little stories that you could drop in as VTs when there's nothing happening.
Right, but that's why you hire Parky.
Yeah.
Well, to fill.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fill.
Have you never watched an election programme?
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
So, there's shit happening.
The member for Enfield South.
That's great, isn't it? With you lose the picture there for a second. Fantastic.
Sarah's no looking happy.
Spectacularly glossy 90s hair. Which I love.
Pipes is coming shortly.
Well, we've got we've got the banging here, haven't we?
Here comes Pipes.
Do we see him in the glass at this point?
I think so. Is it this point?
No, that's a cat.
No. Hang on. There
he is.
Yeah.
He does look a little bit like a Cenobite from the Hellraiser films, doesn't he?
He does look a little bit like a Cenobite, yeah. But scarier.
Yeah.
Cenobites aren't scary.
And see the director.
Just get fun.
So, did they have people in the production team who helped them with the grammar of these sort of productions? So, is it a drama director? Do we know?
It was, yeah.
So, how did they go about
Leslie
understanding?
Leslie Manning, I think.
Right,
Leslie Manning. Yes.
So, how did they go about understanding the grammar of these?
Or how an outside broadcast.
She said it was very difficult. I mean, I've heard her commentary, and she said, you know, she had to keep constantly pulling herself back from just shooting it as a straight drama. They did it in chunks, I think, like over a number of nights.
Did they?
So they had like 10 minutes at a time or whatever.
Wow, I just assumed they did it almost
well,
as
no,
live.
Because you'd have to intercut all of the stuff where Pipes is there and then Pipes isn't there.
Well, there is that, yes.
The stuff flying around the rooms and whatever and then running back with
I think the grammar's also helped by the fact they had a proper... There's fixed cameras and a proper news cameraman. Yeah.
Now, here's where basically the programme restarts.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What do you mean? Why did you say that?
Because then it's found as if it's a hoax.
And Parky's grey in this
section. Okay. Yeah.
So what you're meant to, believe as a viewer, which I undoubtedly thought at the time was, it's a hoax.
Yeah.
Busted. So, you know, and you're like, oh, well, it was bound to be a hoax. But then you think... Now, bearing in mind also... Up until this point, on my first viewing...
No good acting. Carry on.
No. Up until this point at the in my original viewing, I hadn't seen Pipes at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nothing other than this bit that was presented as having had happened. Uh-huh. And so you think, oh, well... And then what you do is, which is what we did, which is you then sit back and you think, we'll just see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Then when you do see him... Fucking shit yourself.
Yeah.
Don't believe us.
And Parky threw out all this, but first of all, he's saying to her, come on, get a grip of yourself. You're wanting to believe this. And then he's actually, at first, he's quite sort of embarrassed almost and worried for the kids. But then he's actually quite tough on the kid, trying to get her to speak to him. Of course, if it were really Parky not just acting, they'd only just said, it's all the bloody rubbish.
Don't you think it's amazing to think that not that long after this,
bloody holiday,
another Blue Peter presenter did Most Haunted?
Oh, it was a lot longer, a lot later than that.
It was the late 90s. Yeah, but how. It just seems how gullible his viewers.
Do we want to go there?
Ever accept that?
Do we want to talk about feelings?
Well, I know a guy who worked on that, and he said that they used to get the call schedule, and there'd be points on the call schedule when they were going to see Supernatural.
Yeah.
That's one person's opinion, and we don't voice an opinion on that.
No.
We'd like to make that clear to Yvette Fielding and her lawyer.
Mm. Well,
I've seen stuff in that programme that I cannot.
I've seen shit that'll turn you white.
I've seen stuff in that programme that I cannot explain.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam. Like why Derek Acora has a career. Thank you, Sam. No, thank you, Sam. What? Thank you, Sam.
He's got lovely teeth.
He does have lovely teeth.
Now, one of them died recently, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Colin
Fry. Suspiciously quiet since.
Yeah.
This is an interesting little the way they develop this, because you've just been told that it's effectively you've been told that it's a hoax and it's been a hoax.
She's great,
but she gets really upset. So you start to get it's a sin for the lassie, and you feel a wee bit bad
watching
about,
it.
About watching, well,
shouldn't be fucking watching this.
But you also feel bad because you've probably just been going, she's fucking off. I hate that way, and then whatever. And then you see that she's genuinely upset, and she is really good.
Yeah, she's
and they
great.
Were actual sisters, weren't they?
Yeah.
Were they?
Yeah.
Wow. Unless they just happen to have the same name.
Is she the woman? See the her, Pam Early? Is that her that's in charge of the Shadow Proclamation?
Oh, could be.
And Doctor Who?
So I thought you were the Doctor Who expert,
please see the reverse FAQ.
Because apparently we're not fans.
You misunderstand. Yeah. You misunderstand.
you know this stuff.
You misunderstand.
I think she is. I think that's Pam Early, and I think that's how she keeps the cosmos in order.
Yeah, because she's up early. because the early pan gets the one.
He just gets up before
gets
everybody
shit
else.
Done.
Just gets the pipes.
Here he is again. Here's David here again.
Great suit.
He's fluted that hanky as well.
Dr. Emilio Lovely. Silvestri does look like an anagram. Reverse FAQs. Come up with an anagram.
Emilio Silvestri doesn't suggest that guy.
Look.
He should be played by Dan Hedaya.
Tony Soprano. Fucking Porgas, yeah, fuck you.
This interaction isn't good at all.
No, it doesn't work.
Not on his part. He's alright.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
But she's again, you know, she has a lot more to do.
Yeah. She does. She's doing a lot of the heavy lifting of that.
She's acting her lovely brooch off.
Mm-hmm. And she's had quite a nice wee career since.
Yeah.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of episodes of Teachers.
A lot of episodes of Teachers. Yeah, things like that.
Commenting on Supernatural.
She's been in Doctors.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Everyone's been in Doctors.
Well, it's the new Bill, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
The William, as my dad liked to call it. You are watching the William, and when we moved up to Scotland, you're watching the Wally.
Quite sausagey wee fingers, Mike Smith.
He does have sausagey fingers. Yeah, Smitty.
That's a great jacket, isn't it?
It is. It's so...
The way, he's very professional the way
that's
he fans
actually what
up.
Would still be called an American cut jacket, that
lovely
would.
Now, this
paper.
Is the bit where he's saying, we've had this call, get back in touch.
Yeah.
I think. And he sort of manages to convey, you know, being in the middle of a busy phone-in centre quite
he
successfully.
Does. And look, he's very good at down the ear,
yep.
Isn't he? Instruction acting.
Yeah.
Would they have had anything going down their earpieces when they were doing this?
I suppose they must
for
have.
For veracity, would they
well,
have
they
done
must
that?
Have done. They must have done. Just sort of standard stage direction.
Had ITV on.
Yeah, listening to the box.
That's the problem, yeah.
He's got on. He's not got
he's
on. He's not
listening
even.
To fucking Johnny Dankworth.
He's got
Laura.
Now, you know this lassie, or who she is.
Oh, just because I happened to see her on Facebook saying that she was a pal of Stephen Volk's and I'd been in it.
But she's good at this.
She's good, yeah. That brilliant early 90s haircut.
Do you know what she's very good at? She's very good at looking uncomfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah, her eyes are flicking around. Which now, actually, Lynn Pascoe doesn't do enough of that.
Yes,
maybe that's part of the problem.
Yes, she's too comfortable.
Mm.
Like I said, her swivel acting is...
Yeah,
is
no, you're right.
She's
too comfortable from the very beginning.
Yeah, she's very good.
And actually, for somebody who's meant to be a scientist, Lynn Pascoe, and this... I hate to say this, Mr. Volk. It's not terribly good writing. Because I'm not sure for a scientist she should be quite so determined in her...
Yeah.
Opinions.
That's imagine Mr. Volko just turned around and say, fuck you.
I mean, he's the one with a fucking check.
Yeah, absolutely.
But these are, I mean, I want to point out, certainly from my point of view, these are just nitpickings.
Ah, yeah.
Yes,
because
of course,
I think
yeah.
this is fucking epic.
But the thing
program.
Is, you have to. But it invites you to scrutinise it so well made is it that you really feel like you want to sort of investigate.
Now let's return to something
fire.
That you
fire's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a long time to realise that was a video screen.
Mm.
Now is this the first?
Clarky wearing a swatch.
He would never wear a swatch. That's going to be a citizen's.
You were going to return something.
Possibly a rotary.
Seiko Kinetic.
Chris.
Well, sorry, I was just going to say, is this not the first call which is about Old Mother Sounds or something?
Yeah, well, the trouble is
we don't have subtitles on
because no DVD
well,
release
like
of this
to,
has
I'd
subtitles.
I'd like to actually point this out.
Yeah.
This is shocking. Neither the BFI or the BBC have subtitles on these, which is disgraceful.
Because that's how this works.
Yeah, for people who are hearing impaired. I think that's a disgrace.
And for copyright reasons, people
and for copyright
like
reasons,
us.
We won't want to play it out.
Yeah.
But my dad, for example, has to watch things with subtitles because he has severe tinnitus, and it's a disgrace that there aren't subtitles on these. Anyway, Old Mother Sounds, or whatever the fuck her name is.
That's a swatch.
But this is a misdirection because the story has nothing to do with what you believe the story to be. At the end, although they never tell you what the story is.
No, which
that,
is good.
Which is
but that's
brilliant.
An important part of a proper,
one thing
decent
I,
ghost
yeah,
story.
Absolutely, because one thing I hate about a lot of ghost stories
is a clear
like
explanation.
Crimson Peak,
yeah.
Which isn't actually a ghost story, is that they, spoiler, see, is that they have to explain and it's vengeful for this or that. Don't need to know any of that.
See, Nigel Neill's very good at understanding how little.
Well,
You need to be told.
We need to talk about Nigel Neal, because I think he's a big influence in this, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Do you mean...
I think this is very much...
Of the Stone Tape. Is that what you're... Are you thinking specifically Stone Tape, or that, more generally?
Also, we were talking about this beforehand, so more generally, the sort of the science and the paranormal coming together.
Yeah.
I think the very sort of suburban setting and whatnot was good. And also, the fact that in the end... That whole thing about it not being terribly well explained, and there's a bit when she says it could have gone back into prehistory.
Yes, and that's very Nigel.
Very Nigel.
That's ancient terror.
Yeah,
prehistoric that existed before man and this sort of thing. As if that's the origin of creation, is an ancient terror. Is very Nigel.
And I mean that in the nicest possible way. Oh, if you're writing something that bears scrutiny alongside Nigel,
we are not fairies and goblins.
You're doing well.
Yes. See, my thesis is that stuff dates back to the sort of the time or the Victorian time, and this fear of pre-Christian religion.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very Lovecraft.
And I think you can then trace that through M.R. James.
Despised religion and.
Made it an irrelevance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He wanted a whole sort of worldview that was. Anti-religion.
But it's interesting, isn't it, that correlation between the older something is, the more terrifying it is.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Which definitely...
Yeah, the idea that's been going on a long time there.
Hence
well,
Parking.
Also makes
it... because what it does is it makes us irrelevant.
Aye, exactly.
We are or rather, it makes us incidental.
Yes.
You can turn
transient.
Up there with Craig Charles and
all
a scanner, and it's not going to get rid of it.
Not going to make any difference.
In fact, you might have just made it worse, as we'll see.
No, I was going to make a point before all that. No, I can't remember.
But there is a degree of scientific. There's a certain amount of scientific rigor that you can bring to it that makes it more frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But then, if you go beyond that, it makes it less frightening. And I think this does, by and large, a good job of understanding where that tipping point is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ukulele there.
They've got a guitar on a shelf.
That's a ukulele, I think.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, looks like a ukulele.
Unless it's really far away.
I
or
like
she's got
owl,
a truly
like
huge head.
That owl vase. That's a nice owl vase. I think.
Yeah.
She's got Nelson Mandela's The Long Walk to Freedom there as well. She's a shelf.
What, in 1992?
Yeah, I think it was out by then, wasn't it? That looks like it there.
Thereabouts.
It wasn't out in 1992.
He was.
Ghosts.
Came out after
pipes,
sure.
Pipes. And there must be a little pipe.
Reverse FAQ.
When
was
the
long walk?
You're
to
all
freedom?
Fucking saying now. This will be the reverse FAQ. It's fucking cunt force features here that has to write it. Fuck's sake.
Wow. Oh well, the more we get wrong, the longer it's going to take. So let's crack on.
Now this is I find this actually quite disturbing. All of this stuff with her weather.
It is quite disturbing.
What?
I'm trying to get you to stop moving your leg.
Yeah, fuck off. If I do that, I'll push myself.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, this is all really upsetting, actually.
It's not nice.
And I like the fact that she gets that across, which is basically she's got this sort of.
Oh, it's horrible.
She's giving the idea that we need to get out of here now.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what was the TX time for this?
I think it started at
9 o'clock?
5 to 9 or something.
Yeah.
Because in those days, you didn't have to be hour and a half hour.
Yeah.
And ran till about half 10.
No, you still don't, no.
Even though this was Michael Grade era, would it have been? Would he have still already gone by then?
He'd have been gone by then.
So but it's not Yentop, though, is it?
No, it's quite good. It would have been about...
it doesn't smell.
This would have been about...
Because he'd have actually gone to New York in that case.
This would have been about 10 o'clock then.
Look at that.
What a great
avocado plastic
lovely isn't it?
Bathroom tray set. So this would have been about 10 o'clock by now.
Yeah. Mm.
So you can get away with all of this kind of stuff.
And they really push it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff about the fetuses earlier is really disturbing.
Oh, it's horrible.
This is really disturbing.
Yeah. Black Labrador fetuses. Nice.
Mm.
Get them in the frying pan.
Lovely.
That black pudding.
Oh, he's not happy now at all.
No, he's not, is he?
Oh, that's terrible. That's documentary enough. There's about Chuffer Normington. He played for Barnsley in the 1930s. He's a great player.
Here's Jerry Dagworth.
Good friend of mine.
Oh, it's not nice. It's very good, that makeup as well.
Listen, after his infamous interview with Helen Mirren, it's a good thing he's just not asking people about their tits while they're going to see them.
Your, shall we say, supernatural assets.
Oh, God. It's one of the worst things on, and it's worth watching on YouTube.
Yeah,
if you think we're giving Parky a hard time, Watch his interview with Helen Mirren.
Yeah. I think that Parker did lose it.
Look at that swivelling. It's just not realistic. You would not swivel like that if you're nice an expert pins, on TV.
Obsessed with her swivel.
Yeah, leave it alone.
It just doesn't work.
I like Lynn Pascoe. She's a nice lady.
You're putting me on her side.
Yeah.
Now.
Sorry. Oh, look at this guy though.
Yeah.
Lovely hair as well.
He does have lovely hair. Man. Yeah, it's proper hair.
Now,
very strawy.
Is this the call about the nephew who you're supposed to be thinking is actually Pipes?
Well, if it's fucking,
if we fucking knew about the subtitles, man. But
it's a great story.
It is a great story, yeah.
Because then suddenly, because they're saying, yeah, we know who lived there. She's giving it, yeah, we know who lived there.
Yeah,
there.
We've checked it right. Way,
but
yeah.
You never knew about the nephew that
we've checked it right the way back to the Doomsday Book.
Yeah, that's a long lease. Can you imagine the discount they got when they bought that council?
You're going to have right to buy one. But they'd be giving you money.
You get £1 million in this house. Way!
But maybe they were talking about the laser disc.
I was going to say it would be we've checked it on the laser disc. Half a dozen.
I loved the Doomsday.
Half a dozen
Doomsday laser disc. Yeah.
I loved the Doomsday project. Phenomenal.
But that was on the BBC Google Maps all the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like Google Maps, isn't it?
Except there was only a couple of shots at every locality.
Our local pub was on there, and it was great looking at it recently because they used to have as a starter orange juice. That's a proper starter.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Orange juice, fruit juice.
Orange juice, fruit juice.
Soup.
Fruit juice.
Yeah. One another.
Yeah, fruit juice or
that's
soup.
That's an actual starter.
There used to be a great restaurant in town called the Trees Restaurant.
And
right up until it closed about not that long ago, three or four years ago, it still had fruit juice as a starter. Mm.
And those were the days before mass diabetes, when a little bit of fruit juice was all you had.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So who are those pictures of on the wall?
There's pictures of Jason Donovan up there somewhere.
That's on the other side.
Is that Nick Kamen or something like that?
Yeah, it could be Nick Kamen. Yeah, it's good.
Could be Andy Kershaw.
She loves
the world music.
The Kershaw, yeah. Andy.
A picture of a seal cub.
That's Liz Kershaw.
There he is.
So there's your Jason.
That was amazing.
Now that was the first time that we saw it, and we went fucking mental when
we saw
it. Nice
little horsey.
Shire horse thing.
Yeah,
we went
good
spare when we saw that, and that was what dragged us right back into it.
And now you've got the thing about the nephew, and suddenly you're tying it in with it. He looks like a man.
Now this is the bit where he says he doesn't realise he's back on air.
Yes,
and he goes in the huff. And this is supposed to get you to the point where you think
it's
beginning
to break
fall
down.
Fall apart a wee bit here.
Mm. It is. You know, you're saying there's little bits of her and that whatnot. Structurally, it's really clever.
It's very clever. Yeah,
it's amazing.
But
I think it's an incredible piece of work.
I find it almost impossible to fathom how he could have envisaged all that in the process of writing it. Because it feels to me like you can only put this together in actually doing it somehow. Because it's just so clever, the little subtleties like that.
If only we had a website full of people writing stuff about TV that could contact them and say, could you do an interview about this, Mr. Volk?
Absolutely, but don't talk about Afterlife.
No, he can talk about Afterlife. You don't talk about Afterlife.
Because it was shit.
And it'd be fine.
Now, the thing...
must be the first post-it notes in British television, those.
Well, is he quite good at communicating? It would be quite good at communicating how many calls are getting, except I had never seen a post-it note in 1992.
No, that's what I'm saying, I think that's a first sighting there.
Come on, Sarah.
What's the name of her book again?
What?
Angels of the Odd or something.
Angels of the Odd, yeah. Angels of the Odd. Oh, this is genuinely horrible.
Chris, you've got
a 1.5 litre bottle of Coke.
No, you're really upset about the shape of this bottle of Coke. Can you explain to me what the problem is?
You don't believe it?
Well, it's a bottle of Coke. A bottle of Coke in the transition period from when they went from before they went to bottles of Coke that had the sort of tried to imitate the shape of the glass bottle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they went from the 2 litre bottle and the strangely experimental 3 litre bottle.
Oh yes,
which was always flat by the time you got halfway through it.
Yeah.
So it just upsets me.
I think it's a 1.5 liter.
It is one forward, yeah, it's one and a half.
Which was the first ones.
Yeah, but I don't like the that shape of a Coke bottle.
No,
it's not easy to stack.
Do you have to stack?
Well, I had a cafe at the time. I didn't like that.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. That's a fair point.
And I reckon that would probably have cost. I think the price on that would probably have been 99 pence.
Do you reckon?
Because Coke was always quite expensive.
89?
No,
89's in my head.
Well, it might have been a special
offer. So this coming through, Chris, I think it's saying to me, 89.
Well,
check out the reverse FAQ. Don't worry about it.
What was the cost?
Two litre bottles of Iron Brew were 94 pence up until about 95. Then they started to climb.
Wow.
So I think Coke always been...
As Scotland moved towards devolution and then independence...
I think you'll find that one of the reasons why Scotland moved towards devolution. But bottles of Coke were always a bit more expensive.
Oh, the banging started again. Mm. Sarah's on the move.
Come on, Saz.
Struck out upstairs.
So what's happening now? Where are we in the...
It's all kicking off now.
She's just hearing all the noises.
Got static that we like.
Yeah. Oh, yes, this is when the wee girls disappeared. Yes. Yeah, this is pretty fucking creepy. Because she's plucked its eyes out.
Pretty serpent.
I tell you, knowing what we now know now.
About
the BBC 20, 30 years ago.
She was quite right. You hide behind her.
It's amazing they got through this without anything going horribly wrong.
Oh, there's the eyes.
There's a touch of the have a grapes about that.
Oh, it's all kicking off in the glory hole.
Yeah.
There's no way to say that that isn't meddling.
Do you like I particularly like the sort of ribbed glass in the top panel in the door.
So the notion of being able to spot...
I wish houses were still like this now.
The notion of being able to spot pipes in the background.
Yeah.
See, I think that that's quite an early example of that sort of thing.
You're just about to see him again.
But I'm trying to think if I can think of another programme for around about the time.
Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
What, you mean just... Yeah.
Well, the notion that if you happen
unremarked.
To catch him...
Yeah.
Completely.
Because unremarked. What it does, of course, is make you think that you're the only person that's seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that perhaps you haven't really seen him.
But you can only do that, and you would only look if you've been drawn into him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here he comes.
Look at the and nice
I, just as the camera moves down...
There he is.
Whoa. And he's...
The other thing that's interesting in this is that you never question why the camera crew stay.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they just would. Because there's a part of them thinking this is a massive scoop.
Well, you know, apart from anything else, I think this is actually quite a salient point. And the reason that this works in a lot of ways is because... It seems ironic to say this now. But it's because it
lovely
was the BBC.
Lovely static.
And that doesn't look like the font for a transmission.
It doesn't.
Except at this point, the union rep would have been on the phone going, "Get my boys out there now!
We're
blacking the entire BBC."
He laughs too much at this.
But I think
this is the bit where he's chatting away, not realising that.
He doesn't have the capacity to deal with it, though. Isn't that what you're meant to think?
This joke and he laughs too much.
He probably thinks he's a bit of a cock, actually, and he's just like, very good. Leave me alone, you knob.
Or is that sort of nervous laughter?
Yeah.
You're very good.
And this is when Kratos realises
he was the best thing in the keep.
Yeah.
And he takes the huff.
But then he sort of gets the kids to fuck as well, right? And they're trying to work out what's going on here.
I was on. There you go, he's cheesed off.
Yeah, I like that. That's
really
good.
He's really good.
I was just wittering away.
It's only the BBC loves.
Yeah.
But that's my point, is that it was the... at the time, you would just have trusted it more.
Aye.
Yes, yeah.
Because you think, well, they wouldn't do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is clever.
Now, this is the other thing, because... you see the thing that I remembered at the time, and this recurred to me when... Because Craig and I watched this last night, is not the picture going. It was me thinking that bottle was open.
Aye.
Because that's the sort of thing I look at.
You're mad for a bottle.
Look, Smitty's on it.
It's an awfully comfy looking front room, isn't it?
I think it looks genuinely great.
Especially if you, obviously apart from the big light, which we don't like.
I don't like the big light.
If you had the wee lights on, you could actually imagine sitting there.
No, I'd want
full of Brussels sprouts on Christmas Day.
Oh, no, I can. No, well, yeah, but I would also think fire on
Saturday,
full
night.
Of dinner, Sunday afternoon, watching Bullseye.
Perfect.
I would be so fucking
trying
happy
not
in that
to
level.
Think about the whole.
Smitty's not right. Happy. Right. Look at that little up lighter in the background there, by underneath the Ghost Watch logo. Slightly redundant.
But you really are nitpicking now, Jack. I'm not sure about the up lighter in the background. What are the evil panther faces about in the background?
I think they're meant to be pumpkins.
Oh, I see.
Did we have pumpkins in 1992? In Scotland, it was still turnips.
Absolutely.
Snapping your fucking wrist.
You have to
fucking
start carving it in February.
That is one Americanism I'm more than happy to go with.
Pumpkins.
Well, pumpkin instead of turnip.
Fucking brilliant.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare trying to carve a turnip.
Terrible business.
And a bandsaw.
It's a sort of pumpkin-y colour she's got on in the old top there as well.
Or is this the call about the guy that's... Yeah. Done himself in. Yeah.
Well, we would know if the BBC or BFI give us subtitles.
Disgraceful.
Corbyn's Britain.
Corbyn's Britain.
Quite a big set, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice as well.
It is a nice set.
TVC?
I think so.
I would like to think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think so. Look at that.
Why settle
camera?
For anything less?
Can't imagine where else they would do it.
Did they still have Lime Grove? Working with
I suppose they probably would. They might have had Elstree as well.
Yeah. Actually, Elstree sounds... I think it might have been shot in Elstree.
Just check the reverse FAQ.
Yeah.
Don't
Who's doing them?
It's fine. Let's just speculate about a few
things. There's that portrait of Stuart Hall. That's terrible.
It's actually, I tell you, it is fucking lucky that there's no one like Stuart Hall in this.
Or Jimmy Savile.
We'd never be able to watch it.
Now,
here's the thing. Films are one thing. This is something entirely different. Telly. So
what?
We mentioned this. We made reference to this earlier, but this is. I think this is quite an important point. We remember when we first watched this, but being telly rather than a film, the important point is, when did you next watch it?
When I bought it on DVD, probably about 10, 11 years ago. When it came, it was about 2002, 3 it came on DVD, and I bought it straight away.
I remember somebody giving me a copy of it or something. And I think we might have watched it. I think I might have watched it
years. We did,
yeah. Because somebody had given me a copy of it. We managed to find it on the torrents or something.
Yes, I think that's probably true.
Maybe, but not very much earlier than that.
So
it was probably
a long 10
years.
Yeah.
And
it has never been reshown.
No, that's right. Wasn't it the most complained about show as well? I think all
probably
time.
Until Jerry Springer the Opera.
Yeah,
I
think it might have been. Yeah.
Which makes me think the fact that it was so hugely complained about, that even though I didn't see the screen one stuff and I didn't see the stuff in the Radio Times and I just watched it because we came across it, I don't think it would have mattered. And it clearly didn't matter to a huge number of people.
I think it dragged people in.
Well, but the other thing that...
Precisely
makes...
like War of the Worlds.
True.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter that...
yes.
That somebody said at the start of War of the Worlds, it's a Mercury production of War of the Worlds.
But the other thing
This is what she remembers, that she realises about the room.
It's a video, yes. The other thing that's really important about this is that it is a TV programme. Rather than you haven't made the conscious decision to go to the cinema to watch a horror story. You're just flicking around on the telly.
And sticking with a channel, which you would do then.
Yeah.
I'd have probably started even with Gladiators in 92.
On ITV.
Yeah, we'd have watched we'd have certainly have watched Gladiators.
What was on after it though?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, here we go.
Past 3-2-1 by then.
Oh, long past.
Yeah.
Barrymore.
Probably.
House Party on BBC.
Which I never watched. Not by 92.
Probably Casualty would have been on before it, possibly.
Well, hang on, it's only been on for a year.
House Party. No, we would still have been watching it at this point.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was
still but not fantastic. In the. Oh, here we go.
Oh, look at the wind.
Oh, there's a wind in the studio.
Now, this is the point where it's. I think it's slightly.
But if you see it, it's not necessarily all just trying to be a scam on the viewer.
I understand that.
I enjoyed it as a drama, and I still think it's great at this point. I mean, honestly, it put the shitters at me, and I don't scare. I'm a big horror fan. I don't really scare that easily. I find ghost stories my favourite thing.
She's smiling
and
when she
scarier
comes out
than everything. Aye, that's funny. That I noticed
Police
that.
Policewoman smiling when she comes out the car.
Well, it's because there's a camera on her.
She's saying, "What is this shit? I'm too old for this shit." She's saying as she gets up.
No, but I understand what you're saying about it doesn't necessarily have to follow that everything looks like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it still does. It was only around this point with the thing and the wind in the studio and all that.
Yeah, that's when you must have realised that this is
fiction. Yeah, mm-hmm. But then what it became is
enjoyable for that.
Enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, you cheeky bastards!
But you know what? I don't think that I completely thinking back. I don't think I completely realised until the very last shot of the garden, you know, sort of the rolling there.
Jeffrey Normanton.
Next week, finish there.
30 degrees now.
To bless that, Barbara Dixon. No, she was on two Ronnies.
Scotch and Rye.
See, 30 degrees, it's not that hot. That's
no, but it's the point that it's not the temperature's gone up, but surely the temperature should have gone down.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's supposed to really tell us.
I don't suppose you're supposed to look at
it. It could be
at
telling you what the camera's range that it can work is.
But this is all great with the noise and all that, you know.
Yeah, because the sound guy's gone by now.
Yeah.
So the sound pops out.
You can see her talking, you can hear her because she's got her.
Well,
she'll be on
the front mic in the camera as well.
Right. Fucking
Mr. Technical, yeah.
Mr. Biology. she even looks beautiful there. Look at her. She's gorgeous.
What's she doing here? Oh, there we go. Look.
She's on fire.
Yeah. Yep.
Some lighter, that, isn't it?
Certainly is.
That's a proper big
fucking
Zippo.
That's a Zippo.
That's the sort of bikers have. She must have met a biker at some point.
Is she overly plucky here or not, do we think?
Don't you ever say that about her. She's the sort that would go, she'd walk into hell for those kids now.
Yeah, but that's why I was saying at the
she's
start
she's basically
of this,
Zelda Rubinstein.
Well, this house is certainly not clean, by the way.
This house would be clean, but your dishes are fucking manky.
This house
it's like a shit tip around here.
So I do have issues with the ghostly phenomenon in the studio.
Oh, it looks like they've got this
that's unnecessary.
Oh, shut up.
What's unnecessary?
The stuff going on in the studio.
No. That's the whole point.
Yeah, he's got
in
the
created
machine
a
now.
Massive sale.
That's when everyone started, according to legend, topping themselves and panicking and running into the streets.
Yeah.
Idiots, mind you. But
yeah, that's what we call another circumstance, natural selection.
Thank you very much, Mr. Volk. You've got a bunch of idiots to present themselves to us.
Absolutely.
Get rid of them.
Oh no,
Sarah, what are you doing? Don't tear her.
The meter's under the stairs.
Boom.
That's that.
It's a great slam, isn't it? That's
it's also a beautifully lacquered door,
slam.
Though.
Slam.
Yeah.
This is quite spooky as a shot.
And I think I think this is all quite iconic.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
You're getting the smears from the lights and
everything.
Yeah,
the smears. You just don't get that anymore, do you? You don't get a nice light smear on TV.
Can you imagine actually?
Old gay whistle test. Like,
yeah. This looks. I suppose now this looks sort of a bit rickety or whatever. But can you imagine trying to film this?
No.
Trying to coordinate the wind going or the thing and the bulbs going. Let me just make this one observation as we come to the end.
Go for it.
If nothing else, although this is much else. But if nothing else, this programme is an absolute triumph of continuity.
Yeah.
This is true, yes.
It is an incredible feat of continuity.
This is true.
Mr. Spielberg, watch and learn.
Absolutely. With your non-matching skies.
No. fucking goats all over the place.
It is fantastic.
It is.
It's
a lot of Halloween's
over here somewhere.
Lana Blair, it's your turn.
It just seems to be turned into Eddie Waring all day.
All men do in Britain at some stage. You're looking uncannily like him yourself.
Where's my act?
Still got the full Windsor going there. Look at that. Mm. Impeccable.
But that shot's a lovely shot, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
And it would have looked so odd at that time, and to see a shot like that.
Yeah, you'd be watching it going, what's going on? I don't like it.
I like the way it was.
When's Match of the Day coming on?
What's this say? What's this say? Round the room, the glad baby. Fuck it.
The only time in these commentaries we have just applauded
spontaneous applause.
It is fantastic.
I think that is one of the Stephen most Bog. Incredible pieces of television that's ever been made.
Absolutely.
It is.
I don't think it could be made now.
Why?
No.
Because I don't think it wouldn't be made now because I don't think the reason is that people wouldn't buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody would have the
guts,
the nerve, or the guts, or the vision to try and make something like that now.
Absolutely.
I mean, it possibly wouldn't work because people view television differently now. Whereas you could be fairly confident that a sizable proportion of the population would be watching this because of the time it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't be the case now.
This is true, yeah.
But leaving all of those qualifications aside,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a genuinely stunning piece.
It is phenomenal, yeah. It is absolutely
and
phenomenal.
And such an influence on so much that's come since then.
23 years ago.
Yeah.
23 years
and I think
ago,
the thing is it's the whole production team totally understood what the point of it was.
Absolutely magnificent.
Slanty BBC
logo.
Yeah, it's superb. Do you remember when the BBC moved to the wee cuboid ones? £3 million.
Mm.
Just
it was
to make
it save money
straight.
Wasn't it
£3 million?
And aren't they back being a bit slanty again? Who knows?
A wee slanty logo.
Talking for a bit, if you like.
Yeah, no, well, yeah. Right there, but that was the programme.
Mm-hmm.
That was. I don't think there's ever been anything put on television quite like it since.
No.
Can anybody think of anything that had quite an impact?
And the impact
was
enormous. I remember buying a paper on the Monday.
The nearest equivalent is.
And it had gone crazy by then.
It's probably Blair Witch, isn't it?
But that's apish.
Yeah, it's not very good.
But it's the nearest equivalent.
Yeah.
I suppose so, yeah.
But
it's not scary.
Actually, that film, that Spanish
unscary.
Film.
Where
is
that
called?
Scary?
That Spanish film, Wreck.
Yeah.
That's
scary either, though.
I thought that was scary.
But in terms I think the important point about this is that the medium really matters. Because you want to make a film along these lines, you just have to pitch somebody the idea that they accept to finance it.
Mm-hmm.
And people go with a certain appreciation of what they're going to be going and seeing, they choose to go and see and whatever. The important point that you pointed out earlier is this is on television.
Yeah,
that it's
the
in the corner of
it.
Your room.
That's the thing that makes it.
And you actually have to sell it into quite a different market.
Hmm.
And it is a very different viewing, a very different audience.
Hmm.
And that's why I don't think it would ever be made again. Hmm. And I think it's a real tragedy something like that would never
absolutely.
Be made again.
Also, I would say that The Blair Witch was their way of making something cheaply.
Mm.
They wanted to make a scary film.
Mm-hmm.
The method they made it, that they chose to make it, meant that they could do it very, very cheaply, and it made a shitload of money,
which is
why all this happened.
But the publicity campaign was clever, though.
Yeah, it was, absolutely, yeah. But this...
And that worked,
as you say.
Well,
corner of the room, 20 million people watching, or whatever.
Here's the main difference with Blair Witch. And it sort of touches on what I just said a moment ago. I didn't pour that ginger. Pipes! There was pipes! No, the important point is that Blair Witch was made and very quickly found out because the publicity campaign was very clever. And then you went along and you saw it and it was shit.
I quite enjoyed Blair Witch.
No, it was shit.
And I think most people, I was very disappointed when I saw it.
Wow. And the proof of it is that Blair Witch 2 was a fucking disaster.
Well, Blair Witch 2, yeah. But you can only do that thing once, can't you?
Well,
yeah,
quite. But it's not like you know.
Stop them trying.
It's not like you get a lot of money and then you get to realise the vision you would have done if you had a lot of money if you were a talented filmmaker. The point I'm making is it's 23 years since this was on,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe the 20th time I've watched this,
yeah.
And I will continue to watch this for the rest of my days,
yeah.
On a you know at least once a year.
And when you mention it to people, most folks, some people say, oh, I quite liked The Blair Witch, it was fine, you know. People say I didn't like it. Almost anyone, I would say, that watched Ghostwatch when it was first on remembers it fondly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And said, oh God, you know, that was an amazing experience. Mm.
But do we know anyone, you know, you were talking about your son earlier on, do we know anyone who didn't watch it at the time who's seen it? And yeah. who is not of our generation? Because that would be interesting to find out what they think.
Yeah, it would be, but then it's probably never come up in conversation. Mm.
I don't think I'd be friends with someone that had seen it and
but
loved
it. You sort of only talk about it to people that you know as if it's a sort of shared experience kind of thing. Mm. It would be interesting to see what people who are, say, under 30 thought of it. But
it's such a positive thing to share with people.
Yeah.
Unlike Jack's Doctor Who thing, which is about him proving that he's better than everybody else.
No, not everyone.
And on not that everyone. Bombshell. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bounding round the garden.
Jamie, come on. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Thank you.